بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وحبيبه أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيتي الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعنة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers and sisters, continuing on our subject of istighfar, or asking for forgiveness, which is related to tawbah, which is one of the parts of tawbah. Allah says in the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allahu yuhibbul muhsinin وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاهِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُوا ذُنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah loves the muhsineen, the virtuous, and those who, when they commit an indecent act or wrong themselves, remember Allah and seek forgiveness for their sins. And who forgives sins except Allah? And who do not persist in what they have committed while they know? As we talked about yesterday, there are two kinds of sins, basically, in terms of the ease of tawbah. One type of sin is one that you're not normally engaged in, you don't usually do. You know, for example, you don't usually backbite. You know, so whenever you find yourself backbiting, it is easy to say, you take forgiveness in Allah, you ask Allah for forgiveness, and you don't do it again. You move on from there. And then there are some sins in which you are immersed in, some sins that are closely connected with your very personality, with your very sense of self. And it is these types of sins that are very, very difficult to eradicate. And tawbah in a situation like that is something that is difficult to achieve. And you find that this type of person, the ta'ib, of course, because there are some people who are attached to their sins, they do not want to forgive, ask for forgiveness for it. But the ta'ib, there are certain signs of the difficulty of this sin for that person. One of them is always postponing the sin itself, always postponing it, always saying, okay, I'll do tawbah tomorrow and I'll do it next Ramadan, you know, or will change my ways when I become an old person, and so forth and so on. This is an aspect of the difficulty of the tawbah. You know, or you might find a person saying they're sorry for what they have done, but they continue doing what they have done. And we drew an example of, for example, cigarette smoking, but there are many, many examples to follow. I mean, you have cases where, you know, there are men who are guilty of, let's say, wife abuse, and after they have abused their wives, they start crying, they're sad at what they have done, but come next week, the same behavior has a pattern again, you know. Or alcoholics, you know, you hear them drinking, crying in a bottle, or crying in their glass of booze. You know, here's another case where a person might be really sorry, but it's not really a true tawbah, because as we mentioned before, tawbah is accompanied with the determination not to do the sin again. There are certain environmental things that make sin easy. Certain environmental things that make sins easy. The commonality of a sinful practice in public or in a society. When that sinful practice becomes common and accepted as the norm, you would find that people would engage in it and be attached to that sin and not think that that sin is good, or even worse, think that that sin is something to be proud of. And this is one of the things I think that affects largely Western society, by and large, and modern society in general. What we call the banality of evil, or the commonplaceness, or the normalization of evil. You know, so like, for example, in a society like this one, it is normal for an unmarried young person to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It becomes normal, you know. So you would have in families, you know, people talking to a little child of 5 or 6, you know, and they will say, "Do you have a boyfriend?" You see, and they start putting that idea in their heads. So by the time they become 15 or 16, if a girl doesn't have a boyfriend or a boy doesn't have a girlfriend, he feels that he is some kind of freak. He feels that he is some kind of loser. And in fact, people tend to abuse each other among kids, telling people that they are losers because they're not putting out that they don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Recently, we had a mass murder in California by, I can't remember his name. Anybody can help me with that? Remember what I'm talking about? A young man who was gunning down young girls, especially blonde girls at a university, because he saw himself as a loser who was the victim of girls not, being attracted to him. Okay, so this now becomes this negative, evil type of cultural attitude leads to a greater evil, where one now hates society because one cannot benefit from that banality of evil that the society has created. Another example is the physical display of romance or attachment in public. So it becomes normal to see people intimately kissing on the street, for example. You see, what this does, it now tends to encourage other people to do the same thing, you know, and now the privacy of these types of intimate relationships now become something that is not private. When we when we analyze the word obscene, what does obscene mean? Obscene means taking a private, intimate action into public. This is what obscene means, you know, or using words to that effect. You know, so many of these normal curse words, for example, are obscene in themselves, but obscenity has now become normalized. Obscenity has now become banal. You know, I remember recently, one time I was coming off the underground, and I saw a bunch of schoolgirls, and among them was one little hijabi, okay? One hijabi. All the rest of them didn't have one hijab. And she was cursing like a sailor, okay? She was using the most obscenity like a sailor, and she was wearing hijab, okay? Here we have this. What we are seeing here is the movement, the expansion of this type of culture to even among Muslims themselves. And we find many, many situations like this. You know, people in certain professions, for example, lawyers are expected to lie, politicians are expected to lie, you know, and so forth and so on. So many times we find in the paper people who are trustworthy, you know, are people who are sometimes doing the worst sins. Recently they exposed a pedophile list of people, some 600 or more people, you know, and among them were big names in society, doctors and lawyers and policemen and so forth and so on, all right? So you find in the society this type of attitude being taking place. And this type of attitude is many times looked upon in a favorable sense as a sign of freedom, okay? As a sign of creativity. So you can't watch a movie without a sex scene, or you can't watch a movie without some curse words taking place. You see? And this makes it normalized among people. When it becomes normalized among people, it becomes very difficult for them to eradicate it. And it's made even more difficult by virtue of the fact that they see the whole society doing this, and they think that to avoid this, it would make them look like a weird person. And many of our children in high school suffer from this type of peer pressure. Many of our children suffer from this type of peer pressure, okay? Many of our Muslim children suffer from this type of peer pressure. And this is why it becomes very important for Muslims to try to control their environment, their immediate environment in which they live. This is why it becomes important for Muslims to have, faith schools or some kind of school that is, that helps us to maintain our values. This is why, for example, we might even need to invest more in homeschooling. Homeschooling doesn't necessarily mean just mom stays at home teaching her children by herself. That's not just homeschooling. Homeschooling also has a networking aspect to it, where people get together and they organize outings, they organize scientific camps, etc., you know. And I think this is a very important way to go in order to protect our kids. You know, and you find, for example, many great successes in academia are done by people who are homeschooled, you know. Muslims controlling their own area. It doesn't mean to say that, some of these Wahhabis, you go out there and beat up people who are drunk on the street in your neighborhood. It doesn't mean that at all, you know, but it means that, you know, you exert a certain force, a certain cultural force on your environment, a certain cultural influence on your environment that other people will find refreshing. You know, I remember in some parts of the United States in the mid-70s, for example, you know, in some parts of upstate New York or in Detroit and so on, Detroit at that time being known as the murder capital of the world, you had areas where Muslims basically colonized. Muslims basically inhabited and encouraged other Muslims to come there and inhabit. And you'd find that non-Muslims living among them felt more secure than they did in any other part of New York City or any other part of Detroit. So this is a way that we could work to combat this banality, this commonplaceness of evil and obscenity and immorality in our society. When we say, for example, we are putting off our tawbah, when we say, for example, yes, right now I want to enjoy myself, I'm young, so I want to enjoy myself, and when I get older, I would not do X and I would not do Y, this is really a figment of a person's imagination. I think Imam Zain al-Abidin, alayhi salam, said it in the same way. Okay, this is foolhardy because you don't know how long you are going to live in this world. And also because of the fact that the older we get and the more we persist in negative behavior, the more ingrained that negative behavior becomes as part of our personality. So when we become old, it is impossible for us to extricate ourselves from it. We might be too weak to continue the practice, but that does not mean to say we have left the practice. You might just be too weak, and that's about it. But because over a space of time, a long space of time, you have persisted in this practice, you have now made yourself an inhabitant of hell. There's a story where the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with his companions, and being a companion of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a real companion, means being an arif, means being a person who could perceive the unseen to the extent that Allah could let them perceive. And they heard something like a stone splash into water. And they asked the Holy Prophet what was that. And he said that that was a person falling into hell, and it took them 70 years to get there. In other words, their whole life was a falling into hell. Their whole life was a trajectory into the hellfire. And at the moment that they died, they woke up to the reality in which they already were. As you know, hellfire and heaven are states of the soul, real states of the soul. They do not exist in a time. When we say it comes afterwards, when we say the hereafter, the akhirah, it does not mean in time. It means the post-mortem state. It means after you die. Okay, that moment of death is an opening. It is not something that follows after that. You don't go into hell after you die. You're already in hell. Hell is the moment where you open your eyes and you realize where you were. Or heaven is the moment where you open your eyes at death and realize where you were all the time. And so the more we continue going on the path of disobedience to Allah, the more we are creating this hell for ourselves, till a point is reached where you become a hellish person, where you see good as bad and bad as good. When you see an honest person to be someone you can rip off. When you see a humble person as somebody who is weak. Where you see a just person as somebody who is an oppressor. You see, this is when now you're starting to look at the world with hellish eyes, where you do not see good for what it is. And I'm sure many of you have come into contact sometimes with people who are like that. People who mug people on the streets and rip people off and so forth. These are people who are like this. A friend, a so-called friend, for example, who asks you for help or asks you for a loan and never pays you back, you know, and wants to fight with you or wants to be abusive with you when you want to ask you back for your money. This is a person who is a hellish person. That's a hellish personality. They took advantage of your generosity and they thought that they got away with it until one day they open their eyes and they meet people who are just like them. So tawbah is not just words. Tawbah is not just words. Tawbah is something that requires effort in order to change and rectify ourselves. So we should take advantage of our youth, and we shouldn't squander that God-given opportunity where we, in the time of our youth and in the time of this world, can do many good things. Let's make tawbah before the opportunity escapes us and the guile of shaitan takes hold upon you. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is reported to have said, "Inna Allah ta'ala yuhibbu shabat ta'ib." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the youth who is a ta'ib. Loves the youth who does tawbah, who asks forgiveness for his sins. And the hadith by Imam Ridha alayhi salam talking about tawbah that is not based in truth. Tawbah is not based upon sincerity. And he says a person who seeks forgiveness for a sin and repeats it is like somebody who's mocking Allah, somebody who's making fun of God. And in fact, Imam Ali alayhi salam went and said it even more profoundly. He said, "Al-istighfar mal al-israr, dhunubul mujaddada." He says, seeking forgiveness alongside persistent sinning is a new sin. Is a entirely new sin. Asking Allah for forgiveness and not being, sincere about it. Tawbah might wash away our sins. Sodom might get rid of our sins, but the stain of the sin tends to remain. The stain of the sin tends to remain. You know, it's like a white cloth, where you know when you wash this white cloth that had a stain on it. Let's say, for example, an ink stain or something. The stain might come out of it, but the whiteness of the cloth still has a certain type of sort of shade to it, you know. And the analogy is made because what it indicates is that we have to be always on guard about that sin that has been forgiven us. That there would be that tendency. There would always be that orientation lingering away in your personality, in your soul, that might, you know, turn you back towards this particular sin. And so we have to be very careful with a tawbah. And just like, for example, you know, when you leave a spot on a clothing for too long, that effect remains longer on that thing. This is why it becomes important for us to be a ta'ib as early as possible. Now, in light of the effort used to make tawbah, I want to mention to you a hadith by Imam Ali Amir al-Mu'mineen about the practice of tawbah. And it is said that somebody gave the Imam salams, and they were talking about something, and the man said, "Astaghfirullah." And the Imam responded, "Thakilatka ummuk." He said, "May your mother be bereaved of you." And what that means is, you know, it's a surprise that you are so ignorant. It's a surprise that you could be so foolish with respect to the easy way of saying astaghfirullah. Atadri mal istighfar. He said, "Do you know what istighfar is? Al istighfara darajatul illiyin. Istighfar, asking forgiveness, is a level of the highest heaven. And as we mentioned before, istighfar is always a precondition towards getting close to Allah. The very idea of sin is something that keeps us far from God. Sin brings a barrier between us and Allah. To remove that barrier, the mechanics of removing that barrier is tawbah and istighfar." He says, "Wahuwa ismun waqi'un ala sittati ma'anin." He said, and its name is realized on six meanings. There are six meanings to this name istighfar. Awalahum an nadmu ala ma madha. The first of which is regret for what has passed, regret for what you have done. And we covered that. You know, sin starts with a regret. And the regret starts with seeing the ugliness of that particular action and being very sorry that it came from you. The ugliness of that action in terms of its effect upon the world, upon the people that you have done it to, or the world that you have done it to, and upon yourself, and you are regretful of that. وَالثَّانِي الْعَزْمُ عَلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْعَوْدِ إِلَيْهِ أَبَدًا. He said the second is the determination to abandon it and not go back to it forever. Okay, so you would never go back to this. And you could only do this if you see the ugliness of that particular sin. If you can't see the ugliness of that sin, then that sin is you. That sin has become something that characterizes you. وَثَالِثْ أَن تُؤَدِّيَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ حُقُوقَهُمْ حَتَّى تَلْقَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ أَمْلَسْ لَيْسَ عَلَيْكِ تَبِعًا. He says, the third is that you give the creation its rights, so that when you meet Allah the Glorious, you will do so with a clean slate, with them not having something against you. So the third aspect of tawbah is your responsibility to the makhluqeen, your responsibility to those things that Allah has created. Because your sin is being done on one of those things. Your sin is being done on one of those things. And those things also include your own limbs and your own eyes and your own ears and so forth. And you have to do justice to it. You have to recognize its rights that you have breached, that you have disobeyed. And you have to give that thing its right. So part of tawbah is if you do something to somebody, you have to redress that grievance. You have to redress that grievance. If you do not redress that grievance, then you have not done tawbah. Okay? I might have done something to one of you in this room. And I might know that I have done something to one of you in this room. And Laylatul Qadr, I say, oh Allah, forgive me for pilfering Abdullah's wallet, for example. And Abdullah is sitting right in front of me. But I'm not going to give him back his wallet because I'm embarrassed to give him back his wallet. Okay? That tawbah doesn't work. You have to give that thing that you have done, that act that you have done against that person, you have to give that person his right. Okay? Or that thing is right. And know that you're going to meet Allah with a clean slate. Meaning, as this hadith says, that nobody says that you owe them anything. Nobody could stand up to Allah and say, oh Allah, he did this to me, and I want my right. You know, there's a story where, for example, there's a man who goes to Allah with perfect ibadah, doing salatul lail, you know, fasting for the whole month of Ramadan, and extra, doing ziyarat, going to Karbala every 2 weeks, and so forth, and so forth. And he goes to Allah on the day of judgment, and Allah says, oh, beautiful, your report card here looks great. It looks very nice. And then somebody says, oh Allah, but he did this to me. Allah says, oh, you did this to him. Okay, so we take one of your good deeds and we give it to him. And another person comes and says the same thing. And it continues and continues and continues until all of his good deeds have gone to other people for what he has done to them. And then other people still keep coming. And they say, oh Allah, he did this to me. But his account is depleted. And so Allah takes that person's evil deed and puts it upon him until this man goes to hell. Okay? This is what tawbah is trying to avoid. This is what we need to do. And it says, الرابع أن تعمد إلى كل فريضة عليك ذيعتها فتؤدي حقها. Fourthly, that you should undertake all your obligations that you had neglected, thus giving them their rights. And fariza means not just our obligations in our lives, like our obligations to our families and our obligation to our society and so forth and so on, but it also includes especially our obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our obligation for praying on time, not neglecting our prayer, not taking it seriously, for example. Our obligations to pay our qums and our zakat, our obligations to our fellow Muslim brother and sister. All of these things need to be adhered to in order for us to, have a proper tawbah. And inshallah, I will continue this hadith tomorrow, inshallah, because we are running out of time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu salam wa ali Muhammad. Ma shuru kardim ba ayat al-Quran ke miguyad ke Allah onhay ke muhibbat darad wa kesani ke karhay fasik ke anjam darand و برالای خودشون ظلم کردن به یاد خدا می افتند و از خدا استغفار می کنند و کی مستغفر هست غیر از خدا که کی چیز استغفار قبول می کنند غیر از خدا و آنهایی که ادامه اون کار نمی کنند. کتابا دو نوع هست، یک کتابا که آسون است، یک کتابا که دشوار است. کتابا که آسون است که کتابایی که ما یک گناه انجام داریم که عادت نکردیم به آن گناه و به خاطر آن ما راحت توبه میکنیم و از اون گناه ترک کنیم، به خاطر اینکه با اون گناه متعلق نشدیم. اما توبه هایی هستند که مثلا ما ادامه دادیم، ما عادت کردیم با اون توبه، اون توبه خیلی سخت هست از آن جدا بشه. یکی از عوامل سخت بودن توبه یعنی معمولی بودن، معمولی شدن گناه که در مخصوصا اما نه تنها تو غرب، در کشورهای غرب پیدا می شود که مثلا فحش کردن، دوست پسر داشتن، دوست دختر داشتن، چیزهایی که معمولی شده در این جمعیت که بر جوانان فشار میاره و جوانان فکر میکنن که این چیزی طبیعی است و بعید نیست. خیلی معمول که مثلا بچه ها میبینیم که مثلا نوجوانان که اگر دوست دختر ندارن فکر میکنن که آنها موفق نشدن در زندگی، یا مثلا دختر همینطور. و ما تازه دیدیم که مثلا تو کالیفرنیا یه پسری بود که چند تا دختر کشتن تو خیابون به خاطر اینکه نتونست دختر پیدا کنند، نتونست دختر بگیرند و فکر کردم که دختران بر علیه او بودند و خیلی از آنها کشتن. این مشکلی که داریم توی جمعیت. و علاوه بر آن فکر میکنند که فحش دادن و دوست دختر داشتن و اینای علامت آزادی است و آزادی چیزی خوبیه. که ما مثلا هیچ فیلمی نمیتونیم تماشا کنیم غیر از فحش کردن، غیر از کارهای جنسی انجام میدن، خیلی کم میتونیم ببینیم. و این لازم است که ما مسلمانان سعی کنیم که محیطی درست کنیم که اثر مفید و سالم بر ما و جوانان داشته باشه، مخصوصا مثلا تو سیستم آموزشی ما که سعی کنیم که مدارس ما کنترل کنیم، مدارس اسلامی تأسیس کنیم، سعی کنیم که هوم سکولینگ یعنی آموزشی در خانه انجام بدیم. و معنا نیست که آموزشی در خانه چیزی تنهایی است، نه، با شبکه سازی و اینا میتونیم همدیگه رو کمک کنیم و در خیلی از موارد خیلی از بهترین جوانان در مدارس خود آنهایی که در خانه تدریس کردن. نباید توبه رو در آینده واگذار کنید. این یکی از علائم دشواری توبه و هم یکی از علائم چسبیدن روح یا نفس به همان گناه که انجام می دهیم. توبه باید هر چندی که زودتر بشه انجام بدهید. چرا؟ به خاطر این که هر چندی که این گناه بر نفس سفید شما میمونه، آلودگیش بیشتر میشه، عمیق‌تر میشه. پس توبه زود توبه خیلی مهمی است، توبه خیلی مؤثر است. پس جوانان نباید اون وقتی مفید شما که دارید از بین ببرید در ادامه کردن در گناه. سعی کنید که جدا از این نوع فرهنگ باشید، تحلیلش کنید و ببینید که مثلا ریشهش برمیگرده به حیوانتی انسان بشه، بر نمیگرده به ملائکه بودن انسان بشه. خداوند بخشید پیامبر فرمودند که الله جوانی که تائب است خیلی دوستش داره، محبت دارد برای آنها. و امام رضا علیه السلام فرمودند که کسی که استغفار میکنن و گناه رو تکرار میکنه، این مثل مسخره کردن خداوند. یا امام علی علیه السلام گفتن که کسانی که گناهان تکرار میکنه، وقتی که توبه میکنه، این تکرار گناه، نه این توبه، این استغفار یه گناه جدید هست. ما شروع کردیم با یک حدیث از امام علی علیه السلام در رابطه با استغفار شروع کردیم صحبت کنیم، انشاءالله ادامه بدیم فردا، که کسی به امام علی، امام علی شنید که کسی استغفر الله گفتن و امام تعجب کرد، گفت که حق بر سر شما، میدونید استغفار یعنی چی؟ استغفار یکی از درجات بالاترین جنت و اسم اون شش مانع دارد. اول این است که پشیمونی از آن چیزی که گذشت. دوم این است که عزم، اراده داشتن که اون را تکرار نکند. سوم این است که حقوق مخلوقین رو بدهید، که وقتی که به خدا ملاقات کنید حساب شما صاف بشود و هیچ چیز در خلقت طلب شما نیستن. چهارم این است که تمام فریضه شما قبول بکنید و رعایت کنید. و این فریضه دو نوع است، اول وظایف ما در خلقت و دوم و مهمتر وظایف ما به خدا. اینجا رسیدیم و در آینده نزدیک فردا انشاءالله ادامه بدهید. انشاءالله امیدوارم که توبه های ما در این ماه مبارک قبول بشه. انشاءالله امیدوارم که تمام اعمال مشکل، اعمال بد که ما ترک کردیم در این ماه، بعد از اتمام ماه مبارک ادامه بدهد که ما انجام ندیم. امیدواریم که و دعا میکنیم که ما سعی کنیم که محیط ما، محیط زندگی ما، ما در اون مصلح بشیم مثل امام ما، و سعی کنیم که یه محیطی که سالم و مثبت برای جوانان ما درست کنیم. السلام علیکم و رحمت الله و برکاته.